Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk some football with the Professor John Clayton, as we do every day here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. Hello, John.
Hello, everybody.
So we get the word, we saw the report tweeted out by a member of ESPN saying the price has been lowered by Jadeveon Clowney and his camp to somewhere in the $17 to $18 million range, and I think that's where we all sort of figured it would land, that we were hearing numbers that were extreme on both sides, whether it was $13 million or $22 million. This seems to be more reasonable. Does this invite more teams into the party now that may bid on him, or do you think it's still just a two-team race with the Titans and the Seahawks?
Yeah, I mean, and Titans are out of it. I mean, there's no way that they're going to stay in, because remember, they just put $9.5 million into Vic Beasley, and then today they took Korea and then gave him a contract. I don't know what he was able to get. And so, no, I think Tennessee's out. I don't believe the Jets are going to be in at $17 million. I don't think Cleveland's going to be able to go, because, you know, they just ended up signing Adrian Claiborne to add to their defensive line. So when you put all that together, I think that you can see the list of guys that he can go to get shorter. Now, maybe there's a chance that the New York Giants can consider something, but that, again, would have to be a linebacker, because he's a 3-4 line. I mean, that would be a 3-4 defense. And so I think the list right now is pretty much Seattle and very little else.
So I guess I'm asking you to make a prediction, John, but let's say Clowney signs with someone else. What do you see a move? What would be their next move? Would it be Everson Griffin? Would it be a trade, possibly? I mean, do you think they could not do anything? Is that even
a possibility? No, they have to do something. And so I think the next move would be Everson Griffin. And then, you know, you add maybe Benson Manoa, you know, the former Seahawk that has been bounced around for a couple of different teams. You know, I think what you do is then you do a 2-for-1, because, you know, Benson has pass rush ability. He's been in this system. And so, you know, he can join Bruce Irvin and try to do that. It's not like he's going to be a 10-sack guy. I mean, you know, the Griffin had a Pro Bowl season last year, so he's still at a very good level of play. But I have to think if you don't get Clowney, what you do is that you take, you know, the $13 to $15 million of savings and do a 2-for-1 swap, and then you still have plenty of cap room to be able to maneuver.
Well, John, if the reports are out there that he's lowered his asking price to $17 to $18 million a year, isn't that within the Seahawks' range? I mean, do you think Schneider will jump at that? Or you were saying earlier this week, or maybe it was last week, that you thought it was more in the $13 or $14 million range. So it seems like there's still a little bit of a disparity there.
That's a big disparity, because, you know, when it gets below what he made last year, you know, he's not going to look favorably at that, you know, because here he was. I mean, he played well. Sure, he didn't get the sacks, but again, that's not his career. I mean, he's such a good edge player that, you know, taking a pay cut right now may not be what he's looking for and certainly not going to be happy with. But again, you know, when you don't have the options, and again, this is an unusual year. I mean, you can see it just from the standpoint that, you know, with the virus, that you don't have the ability to, you know, get the physicals, which, of course, anybody that does anything with Clowney has to get the physicals, and now that's not going to happen, and that's going to probably not happen until after the draft. And now if you're Clowney, if you take the gamble, it's like, okay, I'm going to wait. Well, any other team that might be wanting to sign you could end up taking an edge rusher, whether it's an outside linebacker in a 3-4 or a 4-3 defensive end, and then you're really out of it. And so, I mean, he needs to probably, you know, heighten things up. I mean, just think about what's happened in the last 24 hours. You know, you've got three defensive ends, Jack Crawford of the Atlanta Falcons. You know, he ended up going to Tennessee. Now, again, that's another team that people thought was going to be in there. They kicked the tires, but, you know, they didn't kick the final thing to get the deal done. You know, you got Cleveland. They took Adrian Claiborne, and they got him to an agreement. Not that his $3.25 million is going to change the equation, but I can't see him going there, and I can't see big money coming from the Jets. And if you're Clowney, I mean, you're going to a team that's expected to lose.
You guys can text in any questions you've got for the professor. Text them into 710-710. We'll try to squeeze in some of those before the end of the segment. John, just back to the Titans for a moment. I know you said they're out of it, but we had a little blurb from their GM, John Robinson, talking today. He was on a conference call today saying, yeah, he's been talking with Clowney's agent. They were talking about his health and all that, and his quote, there's nothing more important than the health of a player. Definitely an important part of a decision. So they're having conversations with Clowney's people, but you're saying the Titans are out of it.
No, again, it's like you do your due diligence. I mean, if a player's out there and he's the best player on the market, which Clowney probably is, I mean, you want to keep talking because you never know if the offer comes down low enough. But remember, they just paid $9.5 million for Vic Beasley. Korea, they got a deal with him today, and then they get Jack Crawford over from the Atlanta Falcons. So it's like, you know, there's only so much room. And remember, this is a team that to be able to fit in the Ryan Tannehill contract, the franchise tag on Derrick Henry, they had to let one of their best defensive players go for nothing. I mean, they traded Jarrell Casey for a 7th-round pick to Denver. And again, he's been to 3 straight Pro Bowls and is one of the better interior guys in football. So do you think that they could fit in a $17 million contract? Absolutely not. Can't happen.
Hey, John, a lot of talk about Cam Newton out there, and some of it from Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the Chargers, and he was quoted saying he's going to be a good quarterback for someone. Is that looking more likely there?
No. I don't think it ever was. I mean, certainly they were looking at maybe doing something with Tom Brady, and they were in the mix there. But their plan still seems to be, and I know there's been at least one media report substantiating it, that they're going to go with Tyrod Taylor and then draft a quarterback, whether it's going to be Tua or Justin Herbert. And so that's how they would consider him. And you notice they didn't say anything about Jameis Winston. But the problem that Newton faces is the same thing that Clowney faces. You know, they've got to have extensive physicals on both to be able to get deals. And at the moment, that's just not in the cards, and it's not going to be in the cards probably until maybe late May.
Hey, John, what do you think about the Saints setting up their draft headquarters at a brewery?
Kind of curious. I mean, I don't know why they picked that. I guess they feel it's going to be sanitized enough. But, it's kind of interesting that, because, again, I think where most people are starting to anticipate is that offices are not going to open up, headquarters are not going to open up until, maybe late May. Because I know, for example, the Chargers, or they can see, it's right now April 30th, I believe, is when they're going to do something with the Cardinals. And I know other teams are starting to put out that it's going to be into May before their headquarters are going to open. And so that means that, again, they have limited use right now because they still have, trainers and, maybe some guys coming in that are injured to get some treatment and get stuff like that. So that's open to them. But I think right now, I mean, you got to pick a place that you feel comfortable with. And, of course, Sean Payton, is now, recovered from having tested positive. And so, everything should be fine with the 10 people that he's going to have around him, but they have to be 6 feet away and making sure they're not close to anybody.
Hey, John, I want to play you a cut from Adam Schefter to get your response. This was him talking to Scott Van Pelt.
We all want to see the days where we have that distraction of football, but OTAs, that's not happening. Yeah. The off-season program, that's not happening. The draft is happening only through the sheer force and determination and lack of foresight from Phil Franklin. I mean, they are determined to put this on while there is carnage in the streets.
John, I couldn't disagree with him more. I mean, he's entitled to his opinion, certainly, and what's going on in society is nothing to take lightly by any stretch of the imagination. Having said that, it feels like they're taking all of the precautions. There's not going to be a crowd. We just talked about what the Saints are doing, and teams will find a way to do this without endangering anybody in terms of spreading the virus. But I think it's more than that. It's just such a welcome diversion for people out there, for sports fans and maybe even non-sports fans, just to have something to divert your attention, much like this show, much like sports talk. It's just a diversion from the reality of what's out there. What do you think of Schefter's position on that?
I don't agree. I'm in the same boat as you because, what you look at is that, this isn't like a physical activity thing. It's not as if, you have to have everybody. I mean, this is a draft and you can do everything by video conferencing. And so why hold it back? Because, what might be now and what might be April 23rd, may not change until June. You don't know when that's going to happen. So why postpone it? You want to figure out, you're not going to be able to get the players to come in for mini camp or anything of that nature. future, but at least you'll know who you have drafted. You can keep in touch with them. You can do video conferencing to try to, you know, get them up to speed on the playbook and different things, and then try to teach them what they need to do to train. But in the end, it's like, okay, you know, it's not like you have to have everybody assembled. And again, I don't know how many people we're going to assemble at the league office to be able to get this thing done, but I think that you can do this. And now, just like we saw in free agency, I mean, say what you want about free agency, but now we're up to 161 guys who have agreed to go to different teams, and 86 that have agreed to re-sign with their teams. That's two-thirds of all the free agent class, and it's not maybe been perfect, but it's gone reasonably smoothly. I think this could work out well for the draft.
Hey, John, on Lamar Jackson's Instagram page, he has a picture of himself and his two receivers that he's working out with, both named Brown. One, Marquise Hollywood Brown. The other, Antonio Brown. What does this mean, if anything?
Nothing. I mean, it means that Antonio is now living, because remember, that's his cousin. I mean, they are related, Marquise and because again, it was Hollywood and of course Antonio. And so I don't know. I guess it's probably down in Florida someplace that they're doing this. Yeah. But I think it's just one of those things for convenience. But I mean, it's a relationship, because Marquise is, I guess, that's his uncle or whatever the relationship is, cousin or whatever. But they are related, and you can see why they'd be working out together.
Hey, John, at 5:30, we're going to be talking about the Seahawks' need for another running back. And I thought maybe they would go after Devontae Freeman or Carlos Hyde, try and get a veteran guy to compensate for the injuries to Rashad Penny and Chris Carson, have a little insurance there. But it appears at this point anyway that they're going to go in the draft and look for a running back. Is that the way you're seeing it too?
I think what it comes down to is what happens at the defensive end, because that's obviously the big ticket item right now that has to be resolved. And then you want to see how much money you have left to be able to do something, because now you're at the point where they've already cut two players to save $5 million. You know, they've got a big savings if they do Justin Britt, but you also have to adjust for the fact that now you have to account for what it's going to cost for the draft choices and how that is going to be. And then you have to kind of see what is going to be left over. So I can understand it, and you don't see anything moving in the running back market. It can only go down. So I think depending on what happens and what the cost of the defensive end position is going to be will tell them how much and what they can be able to do as far as veterans. But if not, then take a running back in the draft.
John, the 808 wants to know, is it possible for the Seahawks to sign Clowney for a low cap hit but make it up and make him happy with the signing bonus?
Like anything else, it's like you can doctor anything at because again, if it's an ego thing, which of course certainly it should be, because if you're asked to take a pay cut, you're not going to be happy about that. I mean, what you can do is you can do a multi-year deal that can void, and then but you have to watch the way it voids, because if you do it a certain way, then you don't get the compensatory pick. Because I mean, you figure if indeed Clowney comes back, I still think odds are better than not that'll happen. He's probably not going to be a happy camper, and he's not going to be happy getting less than $15 million, and so he'll go someplace the next year, because then at least everything next year should be much better in this country and in this world. And so yeah, you just kind of wait things out. But no, I think that you can do a 3-4 year deal that breaks up after 1 year, and then you save some cap room, but you take the cap hit next year, but that's not as much of a problem.
All right, John, you and I talked about this morning, and you mentioned him earlier, Benson Mayoa. Was Mayoa a free agent with the Seahawks? I know he came out of Idaho.
Yes, he was a free agent.
Yeah. So he started his career here. And where does he rank on the list of people that are still out there as far as pass rushers? And, and like we talked about, what do we got left out there? Is it Marcus Golden? We got Clay Matthews. We got Benson Mayoa. Anybody else? That it?
Everson Griffin. I mean, Korea was one, but now he's gone. Claiborne was one, but he's gone. I would have to say that Mayoa is going to be in the top five. But, of course, I mean, when you start to talk about all these positions in top five, I mean, you may not be talking much more than anything above the NFL minimum. And so maybe you can get Maiola for something like $1,047,500 and then get him at a cap number 87.5, just like they did Philip Dorsett. Because if you don't have anything right now, and you're not at the high end of the specter, and you pretty much have to take a 1 year deal for as low as possible. So they could get a real bargain in getting Maiola, and I think that's got to be a consideration if they can't get something done with Clowney.
Hey, John, as part of the new playoff format this coming season, Nickelodeon is going to broadcast one of the playoff games, and they're going to tailor the broadcast to a younger audience. So what kind of things do you think we could expect to see on that broadcast?
Interesting, because, again, it's like, how do they try to do it? I mean, do you have, 17-year-olds or 14-year-olds doing the broadcast? That's going to be an interesting way that they do it, just to try to see how they can entertain. Certainly, I'm sure they're going to put, some fantasy elements in there and all that. But that's a kind of a unique, fun way to do it, because, now you have at least one game that appeals to a young audience, and it's going to be different. And so, naturally, the one thing that was, I think, good about that, they probably got some money out of Nickelodeon to be able to do this, and they have the interest in doing it. So, just like you can see that as time goes on, they'll have ways for video streaming of stuff, so you can see things and see different things, and virtual reality and all that stuff. But here's a way to try to get the next generation of football fans involved in one game.
John, the 206 wants to know about Jameis Winston to the Steelers as a backup. Big Ben always gets hurt, and they have nobody, absolutely nobody, to play quarterback, says the 206.
Yeah. I mean, first off, here's a quarterback who wants to start, wants to get $30 million a year, and would he be able to go to a team that's tight against the cap and play for $2 million or $3 million bucks? There's no way. I mean, he's going to be looking at it like, even if I have to take a backup job, I'm not taking less than what Marcus Mariota got the year, because they both came in the same year in the draft. But he's not going to take a low deal, and they can't afford the cap number. Plus, Ben's going to be the quarterback for the next 2 years. That's not going to change. And so, can he be content to sign a 2 to 3 year deal? No way. I mean, he's waiting for the next opportunity. And even if it's going to come down to, waiting for training camp, waiting for a guy to get injured, which very well could happen, he may have to be at that spot. But right now, there's no way he goes to Pittsburgh.
All right, John. So you mentioned Pittsburgh there, and also Ben Roethlisberger. First of all, how is his progression? How is he progressing as far as his health? And then, the other thing I'm looking at, man, you look at their defense, and we've talked about this. T.J. Watt, Devin Bush, Bud Dupree, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Joe Hayden. I mean, they've got some great defensive players. Where do you think they finish in the AFC North?
I think right now we're right behind Baltimore. I think that's if Ben can come back and play 16 games and play them well, that's an 11-win team, because, you look at the, it's again quarterback driven league, and Lamar Jackson came in his first full season as a starter and got, 14-2 record. But of course, now you look at how many games Ben Roethlisberger is going to be playing against, guys like Sam Darnold and, the young quarterbacks. I mean, Jarrett Stibbett, from the Drew Locke, all those different guys. And so, no, I think they're in a position to be, probably an 11-win team as long as Ben stays healthy.
John, we got a question from the 425, and this is a guy who's after my own heart, being cynical and negative, Professor. Which team has the best chance of going winless next year? And I'm hoping you'll say Detroit.
No, Detroit will win some games. I mean, that's just, I don't see any team being winless. It was funny, because I know some people were starting to speculate that, the team that would be tanking it the most would be the Carolina Panthers, and then they come back and they spend $21 million a year on Teddy Bridgewater. So, they could have been in a position to do it, but no, there's, it can only happen in the NFC, because again, there's so many, non-playoff type of teams in the AFC, and you have, maybe 10 or 11 playoff caliber teams in the NFC, so it would happen more in the NFC, but I don't see any team right now going winless.
Hey, John, we had Mark Ross on from the NFL Network earlier, and we, of course, Jim asked him about Gardner Minshew, and he wasn't nearly as effusive in his praise, saying, yeah, he's kind of like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He can come in for a few games and give you that little spark, but the idea of him being your starter, probably not likely. So what do you think they do with that spot in Jacksonville?
You know, what I'm kind of intrigued about is that, and this one, you know, wouldn't be as much of a problem, is that would they go for Marcus Mariota? Because, you know, not paying him big money and having him come in and compete, I think that could be a possibility. Because really, when you look at it, I mean, the one thing, as great as Gardner was, I mean, he couldn't beat any winning teams. And so that's going to be a problem. And so, you know, right now, you know, they're probably going to be a 4-6 win team, you know, even with Gardner Minshew in there, with all the changes they've had on defense and all the, you know, situations that they have, you know, with players not wanting to be there. And so, you know, if that's the case, I mean, that would be a team, even though, again, it's in the AFC, that could be very high in the draft next year. But I'm just wondering, could they be a team that would just, on a flyer, you know, pay $8 million to, you know, trying to get Jameis Winston, or maybe even trying to get Cam Newton, and where it's advantageous, if, as long as Marcus, as long as Jameis is living in Florida, I mean, it's just a short drive from Jacksonville to Tampa, from Tampa to Jacksonville, so it's like, you know, he can get that physical and get something done.
Professor Bob brought up the point of, or he posed the question, what was your favorite throwback game that you've watched? His was some ridiculous Monday Night Football game that was like 119
was
points,
awesome.
Which is just an abomination, awesome. No defense whatsoever. But anything that you've watched over the past few weeks since we've all been quarantined here that you've enjoyed more than others?
I mean, because I've not watched a single game in any of these replays or anything like that. I'm too busy trying to, you know, get updated with the database and all the salaries and stuff that's coming in from the National Football League. So that preoccupies my time. I'm down to, you know, maybe, you know, 50 deals that I'm waiting to get. And again, some of that's delayed, you know, mainly because, you know, some of these guys haven't been able to, you know, get the contracts fully approved yet. But so I've not really seen any of those games. All I know in the last couple of years, you know, being at that Ram Chief game, you know, was certainly one of the highlights, because that game was absolutely fantastic.
A little bit of news before we let you go, John. Just saw the tweet from Brady Henderson. Seahawks have agreed to terms with free agent pass rusher Benson Mayoa, according to his agent. Mayoa was Seattle, undrafted free agent in 2013, had a career-best 7 sacks last season with the Raiders.
Do I get a little applause for bringing his name up in the last 2 days?
Well,
were you
the first to bring his name up?
I don't think anybody else brought up his name, but I started to bring it up. And that, you know what that tells me is that you get Mayoa, and now that's probably leaning toward they're going to be very close to doing something with Everson Griffin.
Well,
watch for that next ball to drop.
John, all right. We'll see what happens. John, we'll talk again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go, the Professor John Clayton with us every day. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com. Well, he was one of the Seahawks leaders, or he was the Seahawks leader in sacks last season, a big part of the pass rush moving forward. Rasheem Green of your Seattle Seahawks will join us next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
It is Bob, Dave, and Moore. We're expecting to catch up with Rasheem Green here in just a few moments, your sack leader from your Seattle Seahawks last season. So, looking forward to that conversation. As we told you right before the break, talked about a tweet being sent out by our buddy Brady Henderson from ESPN.com. In case you missed it, the Seahawks have agreed to terms with free agent pass rusher Benson Mayoa, according to his agent. You remember Mayoa was with Seattle back in 2013, an undrafted free agent, had a career-best 7 sacks last season with the Raiders. So they've made a move. I don't know if that's in addition to Clowney. I know John Clayton, who was just on with us, said that he brought up Mayoa, you know, a couple days ago. We've actually been talking about him for a while. I think Jim brought him up maybe a week or so ago. But yeah, either way, he brought up the possibility of Griffin. That's been out there as well. So we'll see if it's Mayoa and Griffin. They also signed Bruce Irvin, as we remember. So I don't think this is it by any stretch of the imagination. I think this is in addition to either Griffin or Clowney.
Well, I also want to say that I was talking about Benson Mayo with my wife like 2 weeks ago. So,
Let's give Dave a round of applause, then. Dave gets the applause.
He was a kid out of Idaho, and then, you know, I'm trying to remember what happened. Did he play a couple of games with the Seahawks, and then he ended up in Oakland the next year? But, yeah, you look at, like you said, 7 sacks last year, and, you know, 20 for his career. He started off slow, but, so that's interesting. I mean, I think we're going to get a lot more out of Rasheem Green and, you know, LJ Collier. It's starting to kind of shape up, and, you know, now, I mean, if they, let's say they go after Everson Griffin, and that's what the professor thinks that they're going to do, then, you know, maybe no Clowney. I mean, are we okay with that? Is everybody thinking, okay, there's enough pass rush even without Clowney?
I would feel better about it, certainly with the additions of Mayo. If you're saying in addition to Clowney or instead of?
Instead of. Yeah.
No. Then the answer is no.
Hmm. Yeah, Jim? I don't sit here and think.
Your thoughts, Jim.
Benson Mayo, what's that? Okay, Dave, here are my thoughts. Benson Mayo assigning him by the Seahawks, I don't think that precludes them from going after Clowney, because I don't look at Mayo, even though he had 7 sacks last year. If the reports are true that Bruce Irvin was getting $3 or $4 million, and Irvin, you expect to make more money than a guy like Mayo, so maybe Mayo is going to come in at $2 or $3 million max. So that doesn't stop them from going after Clowney. It just looks like a supplementary type role. I mean, you got another guy who seems to be on the come a little bit, 7 sacks last year. He had another season in 2016 where he had 6 sacks for the Cowboys, 4 sacks in 2018 with Arizona. So you start cobbling a pass rush together right now, and whether it's plan A or plan B, whether you get Clowney or not, if you added Everson Griffin to Benson Mayoa with Irvin and Green and Reed, now you might be starting to talk about a defense that'll have more than 28 sacks next year.
Well, let's talk to a member of that group. He's with us on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline, and he led the team in sacks last year. Rasheem Green is here. Rasheem, how are you, man?
Hi, I am doing pretty good. You?
We're good. We're all broadcasting from our homes, so there might be a little bit of a delay here, so we appreciate you bearing with us on that. But we were just talking about the news. The team has agreed to terms with Benson Mayoa. They signed Bruce Irvin earlier. How closely are you following the moves? Are you hearing about these before they happen, or are you like us, you're surprised, you just see it on social media?
I do not hear about this, you know, before you guys. I'm hearing it the same time, if not later, because I didn't even know if I could hear about that last signing. I hear about it like the same way like the fans and all the other people do through like social media.
Hey, Rasheem, I saw you at an XFL game a few weeks ago before they, you know, discontinued the season and everything. But how's your off season been going? What kind of stuff you been doing? What are you doing for workouts? Did you go on vacation? How's it been going in your off season?
I haven't gotten the chance to take a break or like go like to Cabo or nothing, you know, because I've been, you know, here the past couple of weeks because I had like this surgery on my arm. It was like a minor surgery, but I've been cooped up here. I've been doing like my like training and stuff. So, you know, so far it's been pretty like chill, pretty chill and quiet.
Rasheem, you're not even 23 years old yet. You're just 22, and yet you've played 2 years in the NFL. I'm wondering. Dave talks about it all the time, how much easier it was for him in his second year when he played. Was that the case for you too?
Me, I feel like just having like a year of practice and playing against like guys and then just being in the same system and the game and practice, man, just slowed down for me. The game, the practice, and I was just like, I just felt more comfortable, like, playing. I played faster, and I didn't have to, like, do a whole bunch of thinking, you know. I just felt more comfortable playing.
Hey, Rasheem, was there anything in this offseason that you felt like, okay, I need to work on this? Whether, I don't know, it could have been anything. It's strength, even, or speed, or
like this past, you know, specific or move. The current one? Sorry.
The one that you're currently in.
Oh, for this offseason, my main focus is trying to find ways to become a better athlete. You know, just making sure my speed and I'm like still like quick and I'm able like to be in shape, making sure I'm getting stronger too. That's always like a focus. I always try to get stronger and faster.
Hey, Rasheem, how are you occupying yourself during this time? We're all supposed to stay apart. Any good movies or shows that you watch? What have you been doing?
I really haven't. I mean, as far as TV shows, I've been watching, this past week I watched, like, the thing about the Tiger King. That was pretty, you know, funny, or, you know, like, the series had some funny moments. But, so far, I've been playing, like, Call of Duty, 2K, and I work out, you know, first thing in the morning, but, besides working out and playing video games, I'm not really watching any like news stuff or TV shows or movies.
Hey, well, Rasheem, do you think Carol Baskin killed her husband?
I wouldn't be surprised if it came out because, you know, like from what I watched, it just seems so odd that he's just missing.
Rasheem, we appreciate you taking time, man. Stay safe out there. We can't wait to see you back on the field. Hopefully that'll be happening sooner than later. And we appreciate you taking the time.
Of course. I appreciate you guys for having me.
There you go. There's Rasheem Green of your Seattle Seahawks. Coming up, Adam Schefter thinks there's a loophole with NFL teams unable to perform physicals right now that could cause chaos. We'll hear more about that when we sweep the dial. Coming up with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
A lot of these free agent deals that have been entered into, the agreements, they haven't been signed. What's to stop a team from drafting a player it didn't expect to be available at a certain spot and then rescinding the offer to the free agent that it made because it hasn't taken a physical and a signed contract? We may see a little chaos. This is all still playing out right now. It's going to go in ways that we don't expect. There's a lot of tentacles to this that we still have to see how they develop and play out.
I'm getting the feeling that Adam Schefter is not in favor of the draft taking place. He's talking about potential chaos, loopholes here, carnage in the streets, and you know I think his opinion's been made clear. He doesn't think it should happen. Not to say there's not any merit to what he just said there. Perhaps there is. I would assume teams are, you know, putting things in place, agents putting things in place to guard against that. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I agree with him, though. I mean, it does bring up a lot of questions about that. You know, these deals are not done until they're signed. So, and especially, you know, if you end up giving the physical to the player later on and find out there's all kinds of things wrong with him. So, yeah, I could understand that would happen. I don't know about carnage in the streets, but it is a very different situation, and I wonder how many things, and we talked about this earlier, like the NBA prorating the pay for their players, this kind of stuff, you know, that comes out of the other side. We're not really concerned about that right now, right? But once, you know, we hopefully get past this thing, I wonder how many of these kinds of things, like from a legal standpoint and whatnot, are going to crop up.
Boy, it's rare to see Schefter this fired up, isn't it? I'm kind of enjoying that part of it, but I think he's right. Once teams are able to have physicals with some of these players, we're probably going to see a record number of contracts voided.
Tino told me they used to take the Jordan Cruiser, the bus, on every road trip, and he and Jordan would play Yahtzee on every trip. And Tito told me once, he looked around and he goes, I'm making $29,000 a year. Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all time and the richest man in America, and he's cheating to beat me in Yahtzee because he can't bear to lose.
That's Tim Kirkjian, one of the true nice guys in all of sports media, telling a story about Terry Francona saying that Michael Jordan, when he was playing minor league baseball, would cheat at Yahtzee because he couldn't stand to lose. Now, I've heard that he's hyper-competitive and he'll create, you know, rifts with other players just to get himself going. I've never heard that he cheats, though. That's a different level of competition. That's kind of sad.
Oh, man. Well, you don't cheat in Yahtzee. Come on. I don't know if you guys, do you have a little, I have a little handheld Yahtzee game that's just, you know, battery powered, and you do, I play it on the can, you know, in there. And it's very addictive. But Yahtzee, great game, man. I think my all-time high score, I want to say it's 625, something like that. But yeah, you don't cheat at Yahtzee, man.
Did you think that was an important detail to bring up to the listeners that you play it on the can?
Yeah, I just want everybody to get a visual on that.
Okay. Michael Jordan cheating at Yahtzee against a player making 29 grand a year. I guess that just shows you how competitive he was. That was interesting, though, when he did play baseball, when he left the NBA for whatever it was, 2 years. Bob, I don't know if you remember how long it was, but not quite the baseball player that he was as a basketball player, that's for sure.
No, he didn't look natural at all playing baseball. I remember just watching him his swing and just him run. It didn't look right. I mean, bless him for trying and following his passion. Some said that was why he took a break. It was baseball. Others thought it was because he was gambling and the league wanted him gone for a while. Who knows what the truth is, but yeah, didn't look right.
At this point, we'd all be starved for anything sports-related. You can do something in open spaces. Golf seems like the one legal place where we can not be too close to each other and have a sporting event that didn't feel like we were passing disease. The problem with it is when you've got two personalities from golf that are so starched they seem to have come out of the dry cleaner, and you want to enhance that by Tom Brady's jazz hands and Peyton Manning, you have created an event that requires comedians if you want to entertain us with sport. It doesn't have to be Brady and Manning. That doesn't make you see at all.
That's Dan Lebatard talking about the idea of having Brady and Manning join Mickelson and Tiger in the rematch. I agree with him that Tiger is not an electric personality. Brady is not. Mickelson is not. But Peyton Manning is a funny dude. He's got a good personality. Let's be fair about that.
Yeah, I would like to see that. That'd be awesome to watch. And yeah, it seems like, have you guys seen those NFL 100 videos where like Peyton Manning is taking Tom Brady over to, I can't remember who it is. It's one of the golf announcers' house, and then they're playing in the backyard. And yeah, those two seem to get along. Yeah, but you're right. Brady doesn't seem to have a ton. He's a nice guy and a good guy and everything. But yeah, Manning is, he's hilarious, man.
Well, Dan Lebatard, that's a lame take as far as I'm concerned. I don't care if these guys don't have a personality at all, and I would differ with his opinion on that. Tiger Woods is the greatest golfer of all time, and so people are going to watch. Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time, seeing him on the golf course. Peyton Manning, you guys have talked about. And Phil Mickelson's fun to watch, too. Now, I know 2 years ago they tried this with Tiger and Phil down in Las Vegas where they had a head-to-head match in prime time, and that didn't go over that well. But I think the addition of Brady and Manning, and they're talking about doing this in May when there's nothing going on sports-wise, I'll be front and center watching that. Dan Lebatard, I don't care. I'd like to bash his TV in for that kind of take there. I mean, come on. This will be fun to watch, don't you think?
A rare moment of passion from Jim. Look at that.
Well, what the hell? I mean, how can he not think this is a good thing, especially when there's nothing going on?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd watch it in a hot second. I don't know if he was saying the event would be boring, but I think he was just mocking their lack of personality.
Oh, like Lebatard through the roof with his.
Uh-oh. Jim, I think this is like the Detroit Lions coach now.
Yeah.
This is like Patricia now.
I don't know. You know, I'll be honest with you. His show might be good. What he sits there with his dad and Mina Kimes and does whatever he's doing. So good for him. He's making a hell of a lot more money than I am, I'm sure. But whatever. I mean, this take on the golf thing, he was way off base.
All right. Coming up. Great guy covering the NFL, Bob Glauber of New York Newsday, will join us. We'll talk some NFL with him, get his take on Clowney, the national view, what he expects to happen, and is he in favor of the draft moving forward, or should they pause it? We'll see what he thinks. He joins us next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.